Let's do it.
Radio.
Oh, yeah. This is for Dr. Rogers, baby. Oh, yeah. Oh, 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 oh.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. This is Empowerment Saturday, 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man, Marvin Roan, in a group. Coming to you live. We got Dr. Rogers tribute today. We got Dr. Bruce, Brother George, Willie Lynch, Kwanzaa, me, you, us, and we, all together. Let's do this. Come on, family. It's family time. It's family time. There's no greater love, brothers and sisters. There is no better love than for self and kind. No greater love. Welcome, brothers and sisters, one and all. Welcome to our tribute show for the life and legacy of Dr. Rogers, William Rogers, who is our resident scholar that left us this week. And we want to be able to say thank you so much, Dr. Rogers, for the work that you've done. And we want to recognize this giant, right, that came by to share so much with us. And we want to say thank you to his family. Thank you to him. We're going to acknowledge him today. It's Empowerment Saturday, African-American empowerment right here. There's no greater love than for self and kind. And we have to do the work, brothers and sisters, of working on ourselves. And so the African-American Empowerment Association is about doing the work, right, the real work of improving our communities, improving ourselves, our mindset, our mentalities, our communities, our families, and ourselves. It's individual, family, and community. And that work has to be done 24/7. There needs to be a restoration of the hearts and the minds of the African-American presence, where we live and what we do and how we see each other and how we treat each other, but how we see ourselves in the world, right, in this country and around the world, how our reflection is. And we have to do the work of setting that precedent and that example for how we need to influence ourselves and each other. It starts with the individual work of working on yourselves. The collective work is the peace process and the peace concept, right? Y'all are probably saying, what's the peace concept? So I'll let you know. It's five pillars, right? That is politics, a political agenda for African-Americans around the country and around the world that really looks at how we understand and utilize politics for our best interests. How do we have a political agenda that's local, that's statewide, that's national, right, that's international, that really look out for our needs, right, our causes, right, to develop those institutions, again, that define our own reality, as Brother Stan taught us, right? How do we use politics, right where we are to invest and engage, right, to use the political system to change the laws, right, that impact and influence our people, right? How we need to understand the legal system and how it works, the political system of democracy and how it works, right, the Republican and the Democratic system and how it works and how we can influence these systems to gain advantages for our people. We got to look out for our young people now. And the only way that we're going to do that is to be able to apply the systematic influences toward what it is that we have goals for. Next is the E. It's an economic agenda, an economic platform that looks at capitalism and how we can use capitalism to spark economic development in our communities. Many of our communities are poor and impoverished, and the reason why we steal, rob, and kill from each other is because we've been put in a system of lack. And those of us who have the ability to move forward must reach back, Sankofa, look back and get somebody else and bring them forward. So how do we have an economic platform that really engages how the economics in our communities can improve by building institutions, economic institutions, corporations, Fortune 500 companies, small businesses that employ and empower our people? We're going to have to do that. We're going to have to educate our people on the system of capitalism and economics and how it works. Then there's the A. The A is for you individually. You're going to have to get your A together. Athletics, health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition. That is your physical health, your mental health, and your emotional health. You're going to have to take care of your body, your mind, and all of those things that influence your health. Of course, you know, if you've done the research, we lead the world in health disparities as African Americans. We do. Many of us are ill, right? Many of us are stressed out, overwhelmed, anxious, and blah, blah, blah. But if you create an agenda that really looks at focusing on your health, your mental health, your physical health, and your emotional health, then you got it. Because a healthy life and a healthy temple creates a healthy mind. And when those minds are healthy, then we can produce and reproduce after our own kind. And that is what we need. We need to prepare to stay around for the next generation. There are some kids that are not in this world right now that need you, that's listening to this broadcast. There are some children right now in your communities and in your family that need your presence, need your mindset, need your guidance, need your tools, need your skills, need your knowledge, or just a shoulder to lean on. And then to see culture, relevant cultural programs that really look at guiding us, right, to our moral standards, right, having a standard or a set of moral values that we all adhere to as much as possible, right? I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a code of ethics, right, and morality and values within our African-American communities about what we will do and what we won't do. And we have to hold ourselves to that standard. Other cultures do it. Other communities do it all the time. Right. So why can't we develop cultural norms and values to help us develop cultural norms and values that say, no, we're not doing that? Because if we understand the legal system, for example, many of us wouldn't be falling into the traps of incarceration to make other people rich. I said it. Lastly, is the E. It's a comprehensive education that really looks at a well-rounded African-American community that really takes on all of these ideas and really put them together, that we can begin to work together to coalesce into the great people that we are. All we have to do is do the work and build those institutions individually, family, and community. Now to Stan Mack in a moment. Be right back.
Man, Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah,
I just,
man,
I
we
just
got
love
the deck.
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing.
That's right, Brother Stan, he's not with us, but he said quit trying to get in to fit in, right? We need these tools, right? You can develop your own, but all I'm saying is we're going to have to get collective consciousness as a part of the equation for African Americans. And I'm talking about descendants of African or Africans in American enslavement, right? The trials and the tribulations that our ancestors went through in this country, that group of people, right? Those ones who were brought here as chattel, those ones who were redlined, those ones who were discriminated against, those ones who were segregated, those ones who were marginalized, and those ones who have been culturally isolated, right? We're improving ourselves, and we're not asking for anything but a hand up, not a hand out, but we have to do the work of working on ourselves, and that's just how it is. And if we don't do it, who's going to do it? So I'm asking you today to make a commitment to African American empowerment, to work on yourself first and then do the work of working on your family and then your community. This is Brother George. It's a Willie Lynch and Kwanzaa segment. Brother George, bring it. Oh, yeah. Welcome to the show, Brother. Oh, yeah. Brother George. Hey, Mom. Hey, wife. Brother George. Oh, yeah. Rock it, y'all. I see you shaking over there. Brother George.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, brother.
Welcome to the show. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fine, brother. I'm doing fine. I'm glad I'm able to participate in this tribute to Dr. Rogers, who was a great contributor to our show. And I really appreciate his scholarship. And so today I'm going to join in as well as the rest of us to help to celebrate his life the best we can on today. Today's Kwanzaa segment is going to be Kuji Chagalia, which is self-determination, to define ourselves, create for ourselves, and speak for ourselves. Kuji Chagalia. This symbol represents patience, self-containment, self-discipline, and self-control. Without these things, we cannot grow to be responsible well-balanced, and produce members of our family and our community. These qualities, along with honesty and respect for all living things, are essential to the development of our character and help to determine the course of our lives, positive or negative, in this lifetime. Now, with the Willie Lynch segment, which Willie Lynch is a segment that's designed to offset what was done to us during the slave-making processes, which was self-hatred, don't read, don't educate ourselves, you know, just be a dumb, docile slave. And so really this segment is designed to be the antithesis of this, the complete opposite. Now, today, Dr. Rogers was a great lover of Carter G. Woodson's work. And to a great extent, I would even say that he might even be classified as one of his followers. So today, I'm going to read from a book that Carter G. Woodson wrote that many people don't know as much about this book as The Miseducation of the Negro, because this book really tells you how to read Miseducation of the Negro. It's like a book that's a prerequisite to really fully understand what's being said in Miseducation of the Negro. The renewed interest in Carter G. Woodson's minor masterpiece, The Miseducation of the Negro, has also led to interest in his other writings on this subject. His book, The Education of the Negro Prior to 1861, should be read in relationship to understanding his more widely read book of the subject, The Miseducation of the Negro. Unfortunately, African people in the United States still have some prevailing misconceptions about their education and education in general. We were brought to the United States or to the so-called New World. We weren't brought to the United States or the so-called New World to be educated. We were brought as part of a massive labor supply. Some slave owners saw fit to train their slaves in the repair of farm equipment and certain aspects of the blacksmith trade. What the slave masters permitted was training, not education. Africans in the United States were trained to serve. In the first 100 years after 1619, a class of African barbers, leather tanners, plasterers, and other trained in general building emerged. Occasionally, enough funds were created because the skilled and semi-skilled slaves worked on the weekend for their masters. Thus, they created the means of obtaining their own freedom. While this was the result of some of the training, it was not the intent. It did not require a difficult argument to convince some slave masters to permit their respective slaves to be trained in some basic skills. In this way, they became more valuable as slaves, but they were still slaves. The question about teaching slaves to read and write remained a dilemma throughout the entire slavery period. The slave master knew that to teach the slave to read and write, he might ultimately emerge a thinker. These thinkers would inevitably question whether they should be slaves. Now, that's a great foundation for Dr. Woodson's work, was to convert our people back into thinkers on this planet. And Dr. Rogers was a great follower of that work, and I think to a great extent that he enhanced his work with the way that he taught and the way that he taught about Dr. Carter G. Woodson. So I know that Dr. Bridges has a great deal, including Brother Marvin, will have a great deal more information about the life and the work of Dr. Rogers. So, Brother Marvin, unless you got a question for me, it's back to you.
All right. Thank you, Brother George. Just real quick, you know we've had a conversation also with Dr. Rogers. Came to the show and really made a difference in terms of educating us on the work, right, the foundation. So he made me imagine what life was like in that era and how they were able to navigate the system without the tools that we have access to right now. And the diligent work of organizing, right, to develop our people. He did the work and he shared that with us. Go back into the archives, right, and chronicle some of the work that Dr. Rogers shared with us about Dr. Woodson, his passion for that. So I just want to ask you this. In terms of just a relationship with Dr. Rogers, what is your greatest takeaway?
Well, my greatest takeaway is easy. He was a master teacher. And we don't, you know, we take for granted what's in front of us and what we have privy to while it's here. And then when it's gone, it's like, hey, I want more of that. You know, I wish I could get more of that. But sometimes we as a people have to learn to take advantage of what's there when it's there. Because it's only there for a time. It's not there forever. You know, so this is a sad day for me. You know, I'm an emotional type person. You know, so I feel every word that I'm saying right now. And for me, Doc was a master teacher, and we were blessed to have him. And also, we're blessed to have an archive that we can go back into and let other people feel how he painted the times of the 20s and 30s to where you feel like you was right there. You know, so yeah, brother. He was a master teacher.
Thank you, Brother George. You know, I would just like to share this before we get to Dr. Bruce. The first conversation that I had with Dr. Rogers was 2 hours. And he told me about Dr. Woodson, told me about his life. He told me about his dreams and his vision and the work that he wanted to continue to move forward. And how much he was really willing to share of himself, right? He wanted to give the knowledge away. He wanted to give the information away. And I was comfortable with sitting there listening to Dr. Rogers pour out all of everything that he could share with me in that moment. Also, he invited me to sit in on a workshop that he did with school teachers in Milwaukee. Right? He was like, Brother Marvin, I want you to sit in and just listen to what I'm trying to share with them as we work on changing curriculum. That was this year that he invited me to do that. So a great man, a great legend, gone but not forgotten. So we want to talk about Dr. Rogers today, his life, his legacy, and the theme is doing the good work. He's done the good work. Let's continue to move forward with his legacy as we continue to honor Dr. Rogers today. I'm going to bring Dr. Bruce in now. Y'all know how we do it over this way. Oh, yeah. Bring it. Dr. Bruce. Dr. Bruce, welcome to the show. How are you? Oh, I'm all right, my brother Marvin. What about you and Brother George? Hope you're getting better and walking around pretty good, because Brother George has been under the weather too. But we are still here, so we are fortunate to be still here and able to continue what Dr. Rogers was doing on the program, Brother Marvin.
Absolutely, so, absolutely. There's sadness here with me, but there's also joy. You know, when I found out the news, I was thankful that I had the opportunity to meet such a great man who has done so much work and was continuing to do the work, right? And so allowing me to be a part of his broadcast and to bring me in under his wing and to join this show on a regular basis as what we call our scholar or our resident historian was great work, along with you and then the tag team that you and Dr. Roger would have sharing knowledge and sharing information with us was really powerful, man. So it's a great influence. And I want to thank you for introducing me to Dr. Rogers. And we appreciate you, Dr. Bruce, because you guys are the next level, right? Y'all are our historians. Y'all are our giants now. So while you're here, give it all you got to us. I'm going to turn it over to you, Dr. Bruce. But I do want to say that Dr. Rogers is an educator, historian, and a community servant. He did that service work right here on this show and many others touching lives. So I'll turn it over to you, Dr. Bruce. We're going to have a conversation. Oh, housekeeping. We're doing Slido today. If you got a comment, right, if you don't want to talk on the line, it's cool. Slido.com. The number is 247-6848 if you want to go that route, or you can call in to call in line 845-277-9250. It's Reflections. It's Legacy Time. We're going to talk about Dr. Rogers, William Rogers, and the work that he did. And we're just going to go through and honor this brother for the great work, his legacy, and the work that he continues to have go on through our African-American empowerment. Dr. Bruce.
All right, Brother Marvin, and you can come in at any time, because as I had mentioned to Brother George earlier, I want to ask all of our listeners to please, please keep the prayers in mind to Dr. Rogers, Brother Michael Rogers, who went down on this past Tuesday morning when Dr. Rogers was in the hospital in Jacksonville, Florida, to take care of him and to make sure everything was going okay, and he was still living at the time. And so I want you to keep Reverend Rogers in mind. And to those who are tuned in who might have a phone number for Reverend Rogers, I think maybe one brother or two who's tuned in who has a number for Reverend Michael Rogers, please give him a call, because he may want to comment on the program about some of the history that we're going to give about Dr. Rogers. Also, in this particular segment of the program, please have your pens, papers, iPads, or whatever you take notes on, because in talking about Dr. Rogers, we would actually be doing him a disservice if we did not, as Brother George did, bring in some information, some relevant news, some historical facts, etc., that he would want us to be discussing surrounding him. You see, one thing I learned many years ago, and that is that everything in the universe is related. Even when you go onto a high school or a college campus or junior high school, you may have courses in mathematics, you may have courses in English, you may have courses in history, drama, science, whatever the case may be. One thing we need to remember is that all of those pieces of academia are related. They are related. Discuss Dr. Rogers, we're also going to be discussing some other things, because everything in the universe is related. So I want to start off with that, because most times when we become knowledgeable or become educated, if you are a carpenter, or if you are a tanner, as Brother George talked about earlier, or if you are a forester or woodsman or whatever the case may be, a brick mason, or if you're a mathematician, or if you're
teacher of physics, you don't see the relationships between yourself and other people. But all of those things are related. That's the first point I'd like to make. And so as we discuss Dr. Rogers, we're going to be talking about his relationships to various other things, and you'll be able to get some information today in our classroom here on the air as you normally do. And so I did want to make that clear about relationships. Now, to just kind of take my time and to start off with a current event, and we can talk about it later if people want to discuss it, but I want to, and I'm going to mention several things today, but I want our listeners to maybe during the question and answer, if you have a question, you can ask it, but if not, I won't go into a lot of things in great detail today, but you can look it up a little later. That's why I want you to get your pens, pads, or whatever the case may be, so that you can look this information up. A few days ago, at an African-American college in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and some of y'all may already know about this, there was a student who was arrested in class. She had a had an altercation with one of her white instructors, and the instructor argued with her, and she argued back with the instructor, and somehow the police became involved, and a white policeman arrested her. A black policeman came in first to kind of de-escalate the situation, from what I understand, and the white policeman said to the black officer to arrest the sister, and she was a student and the teacher was white. And this has gone viral on the internet. So if you get a chance, you can, it's also on CNN News. You can put it up and we can talk a little more about it later. And it reminds me of an incident that we talked about a few weeks ago that happened when another black college was involved with an incident in South Carolina. Shaw University was traveling there, and the bus that they were on was stopped by the policeman, and the policeman released dogs in the bus to sniff for drugs, marijuana, that kind of thing. And it was very embarrassing for Shaw, and that's going on now too. But just about 2 days ago, this incident happened at Winston-Salem State University, and you can look it up on the internet as I did so that I could see it. And I have a good friend who had a daughter who finished Winston-Salem State University, and I asked him about it. And when he saw the video on the incident, he made this statement, and I'm going to quote him here, and I think it was a very, very, very good statement that he made. He said, and I'm quoting Brother Willie Tim MacIver from Durham, North Carolina, and he's a regular listener here too, Brother Marvin, of our program, but he said that their comfort, meaning white people, their comfort is worth more than our dignity. Their comfort is worth more than our dignity. And that's a tremendous statement that Brother Tim MacIver made here about the incident, because the sister just questioned the instructor, from what I understand, about the paper, and then the, a screaming match incurred, and then it escalated to her being arrested and that kind of thing. And so it's going on right now, and it's national news. So I wanted to mention that first, and as we go on and talk about Dr. Rogers, because Dr. Rogers would have, and you all have heard him say this before many times on the program, the history, the news, and the information oft times that is the best is that you get on the back porch, that you get in the beauty parlors and the barber shops. You see,
that's right.
So all this
information. That's right.
So what we're doing today, we're actually following what he would actually be doing. He would be talking about this, and I miss him because, as Brother Marvin said, we could tag team off of that particular incident that occurred at Winston-Salem State University, a historically black college in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. You see, so. I just wanted to bring that up first from the very beginning here of the program. And to those who are tuned in, I also want to urge you all to to call some friends and call some other people who might be interested in listening to the program today, because we're going to, as I said before, we're going to give out a lot of information today here on the program. So as we begin to talk about Dr. Rogers today, I'm going to go back and discuss Dr. Rogers and his background and what he was about before even going to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and talk about his childhood, his upbringing, because it all related to him becoming the person that he did become here in the United States of America and in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Now, just around the corner from where I am right now is where William Rogers was born, in Durham, North Carolina. Now, Dr. Rogers would always tell me that he grew up on a street in Durham, North Carolina, called Carroll Street. And Carroll Street is very significant here because of the fact that he grew up the street on Carroll Street from what is a historic home right now of the great African-American woman by the name of Polly Murray. And this is why I said I want you all to have pens, papers, pads, because she is a name that many of us don't know about. But I'm going to talk a little bit about Polly Murray as I talk about the odyssey of Dr. William Robinson, Dr. William Rogers. Now, Polly Murray was born in Baltimore, Maryland, in around the year 1910. Now, Polly Murray also attended Howard University Law School, and she also was at the top of her class, and she was the only woman in her class. And then she went on to UC Berkeley and also graduated from Yale, and she was denied interest into Harvard University. She was denied interest into Harvard University because of her color. And we're going to talk about that, too, a little later on. Because Dr. Rogers and I and Brother Marvin and Brother George, you all recall Dr. Rogers would always talk about the big color conflict, yeah, or the big color thing. Right, that's right. You remember he talked, especially in Durham, North Carolina. And that's going to come, yeah, out in my discussion here of Dr. Rogers and his upbringing, and actually has a lot to do with what made him begin to think about color and the significance that was given to color when he was growing up. Polly Murray, born 1910, and the information that I just gave you was important, but more importantly than the Yale education and the Howard University Law School and University of California Berkeley education was, she worked with Thurgood Marshall in the Civil Rights Movement. She worked with Thurgood Marshall, one of the few women who worked with Thurgood Marshall, and Polly Murray stayed in Durham, North Carolina until she was 16 years old on Carroll Street in Durham, North Carolina, to those who might be tuned in from Durham, where the house is historic now today on Carroll Street. It's a historic site that people go to see when they come to the city. But she left for New York at 16, and she lived with her aunt. And she made her aunt very comfortable because Polly Murray was a very, very, very light-skinned woman, a very light-skinned woman. And her people in New York were passing as white. But Polly, having a little more melanin in her skin, caused her family to be uncomfortable in that neighborhood in New York. And when we look at the history of Polly Murray herself said in her book, and this is and as I said before, you all can read more on Polly Murray later on your own, but her autobiography was called Proud Shoes, P-R-O-U-D, Proud Shoes. And in her book, she talks about the fact that she was an ancestor of black slaves, white slave owners, Native Americans, Irish, and free blacks. I want to repeat that. She was a descendant. I said ancestor. She's descendants of black slaves, white slave owners, Native Americans, Irish, and free blacks. As a matter of fact, people used to laugh about the Murray family, and they would say that they were like the United Nations in miniature, United Nations in a miniature United Nations, because of all the different mixtures that they had in the family. And her mother and father, she was raised by William Murray and Agnes Fitzgerald, and they were both teachers. They were both teachers. Now, when we look at Pauli Murray, we'll also find that Pauli Murray, that name Murray, which I researched, goes back to the name Moray, which is a surname, M-O-R-A-Y, and it reflects the historic ties between Ireland and Scotland, and it signifies the roots in the kingdom of Moray, M-O-R-A-Y, from which you get the word Moor or Moors or black people in Ireland and Scotland. So Pauli Murray was a mixture of Native Americans, which we know also were people of color, mixture of Irish, people of color, Scotland, people of color, you see. So she was a very light-skinned woman, and oftentimes people would even mistake her for being white, but she did not try to go that route. But that's another piece of information that some of y'all might want to look up when you research that information about that name Murray. And Fitzgerald Street, her parents were named, her mother was a Fitzgerald, Agnes Fitzgerald. Fitzgeralds were some of the early settlers in Durham, North Carolina, and there's a street in Durham, North Carolina named Fitzgerald Street for the Fitzgerald family, who were very light-skinned people that came here from up in the northeastern part of this country, of which Pauli Murray was in that family, you see. But Pauli Murray was a great civil rights activist, and also, which is very important, she was the first black woman Episcopal priest in the United States. The first black woman Episcopal priest in the United States. And she also wrote another book called Song in a Weary Throat. Song, S-O-N-G, Song in a Weary Throat. So I've given you two books by Pauli Murray, Proud Shoes, as well as Song in a Weary Throat. And she also founded the NOW organization, or the National Organization of Women, and it was called NOW, the National Organization of Women, in 1966. She was the founder of that organization. And when people start to talk about feminism, Pauli Murray would have to be one of the great pioneers of feminism. And when people would refer to things like Jim Crow, she would say Jane Crow, making it feminine, because she said that black women, or women in general, were segregated and were also subjugated in the same way that men were, you see. So she was also a part of the feminist movement. So that's a little information on Pauli Murray. And Dr. Rogers told me that in the yard of Pauli Murray, if any of you all ever come to Durham and make that part of Durham her home as your one of the places you go on tour of the historic Durham, North Carolina, Pauli Murray's yard, Dr. Rogers told me, say, you know, Bruce, we always used to play football on Pauli Murray's yard, and we'd see her mother coming out, but we didn't know anything about who she was at the time. But later on in life, he found out that he grew up the street from a great African-American woman named Pauli Murray. And then Dr. Rogers also would talk about his conversations with Louis Austin, who was the founder of the first black newspaper in Durham, North Carolina, called the Carolina Times. And the Carolina Times was a black newspaper that Louis Austin founded. And Louis Austin and the father of Dr. Rogers, a man by the name of Mr. Otis, they would sit on the porch and talk. And Dr. Rogers said he learned a lot from just sitting on the porch and talking to Louis Austin. And very importantly, also that newspaper, the Carolina Times, I guess I was about 12 or 13 years old, and because we had a black newspaper in Durham, and also last time Dr. Rogers was on, you all recall, he talked about the importance of black newspapers. Brother Marvin, you probably remember, and Brother Joy, he talked about the importance of black newspapers, you see. So he understood that from an early age, and I understood it also because a little black kid like myself trying to publish a poem, which I was a poet. I wrote poems at an early age. I published a poem in the Carolina Times newspaper, the black newspaper of Durham, North Carolina, called the Carolina Times, when I was about 13 years old, and the poem was called Jim Crow Has Got to Go. Jim Crow Has Got to Go. But
I
had
like
it
that.
Not been, yeah, and I was talking about segregation and separate bathrooms and water fountains and movie theaters where black people had to sit upstairs and whites could only sit downstairs. I was talking about this whole idea of segregation in America. Jim Crow Has Got to Go. And Mr. Austin published that poem for me. I was 13 years old. I remember walking to the Carolina Times newspaper and asked him could he publish it. And he said, no problem, young man, I can publish it. And I was published author at 13 years of age. But had we not had the vehicle, or had we not had that press, the Carolina Times, I would not have been able to do that. And as Dr. Rogers used to always talk about, you all remember this, he would talk about how the black press is how people got information out on the airways to the community so they could learn, and not just learn, but so they could show up at the meetings of the civil rights movement and what was going on in our community, because the white newspapers were not going to publish anything about us. So we had to do it ourselves. And as a matter of fact, I remember Dr. Rogers and I used to talk about it all the time. The newspaper had a motto. The Carolina Times newspaper was a motto. And Brother Marvin, I know you would like that by you hosting this podcast. The motto of the Carolina Times was "The Truth Unbridled." The truth unbridled. No bridle on this truth.
All right.
Coming with.
I like it.
I know you like that. The truth unbridled.
That's right.
Was the motto of the Carolina Times, the first black newspaper in Durham, North Carolina, the home of Dr. William Rogers, who we're tributing today on the National African American Empowerment Program. And to go on with the odyssey of Dr. Rogers, going on to even before he got into high school, the Hillside High School, he was able to meet some very well-known people in Durham because his father was a principal at a school in Durham. Mr. Otis was a principal at a school called Lyon Park School in Durham, North Carolina, a black school on the section in Durham that we call the West End. And I'm giving you all this history because Durham is a very significant city in the United States of America and has a rich black mm-hmm. history. So as Dr. Rogers would like for me to do, let's talk about the history of his hometown, you see. So Dr. Rogers' father was a principal at Lyon Park School, and also Mr. Artis, that was Dr. Rogers' father's name, Mr. Artis, he said Mr. Artis took him one time to the Biltmore Hotel, and the Biltmore Hotel is in Durham, North Carolina, on Pettigrew Street, and it was a black hotel because Pettigrew Street was a black community in Durham, North Carolina, a whole strip of over 100 black businesses in the area. Durham, as you all know, was known as the Black Wall Street. So as we tribute Dr. Rogers, we're going to have to talk about his hometown and what formed him and caused him to become the person that he became, because no man or no woman is an island unto himself or herself. We have to be associated with something else. And Dr. Rogers, in his association with Durham, North Carolina, is what formed him and caused him to become the person that he became later on in life and the one that we know today. So as I move on forward, this he mentioned at the Biltmore Hotel, Mr. Artis took him down to meet Dewey Markham. Dewey Pigmeat Markham, to those who may not know who Dewey Markham is, and to those who may not know and might want to look him up again, you can look up Pigmeat, just like it's spelled, P-I-G-M-E-A-T, Pigmeat Markham, M-A-R-K-H-A-M. Pigmeat Markham was one of the early black comedians in Durham, North Carolina, who reached international fame and popularity, was from Durham, North Carolina. And there's a street in Durham, North Carolina today named for Pigmeat Markham, Markham Avenue. And Pigmeat Markham was really the original rapper in this country. To those who are into rap music and who know about rap music, whether you're into it or not, He was one of the early rappers before rap became popular as it is today. And he also was the originator of something that the great comedian Sammy Davis did, and that was Here Comes the Judge. Sammy Davis got that on, and Roy and Martin on Laughing, they did it, but it came from Durham's own Pygmy Markham. He made about 25 albums during the time he was around, from 1910 till about 1977, I think it was. I might be a little off on the dates, but you can look it up. But Pygmy Markham died in Brooklyn, New York, and he, I heard him say himself in a recorded interview by a professor in the folklore department at the University of North Carolina. He said that he was on the Ed Sullivan Show more than anybody except Ed Sullivan. Pygmy was. So that's something else that you all can look up later. And it came back to me, too. I almost forgot to tell you when I mentioned University of North Carolina. Paulie Murray tried to matriculate into the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill, that racist white institution in Chapel Hill, but they denied her entrance to, into the PhD program in sociology because of the color of her skin. See, I wanted to just mention that also. Going back again to my earlier statement, everything in the universe is related. As Dr. Rogers went on to Hillside High School, played football, he eventually went to A&T State University, dropped out of A&T, went to New York City, became a policeman in Brooklyn, New York for several years. Then after that, he came to North Carolina Central University in Durham. But before I get to North Carolina Central, then I'm going to turn it back over to Brother Marvin, because I got a whole lot more, but I know some people might want to make some comments. But Dr. Rogers told me, this is very important too, that while he was in New York, he would go by a bookstore called Louis Michaud Bookstore, the Louis Michaud Bookstore, founded by a brother by the name of Louis Michaud, M-I-C-H-A-U-X, from Newport News, Virginia. And Louis Michaud, in his bookstore, would have people like Malcolm X speaking, people like Langston Hughes, Kwame Nkrumah, and some other well-known people would always go there as a gathering place, a meeting place, a place where people could sit down and read and study and learn. And Louis Michaud used to make the statement, he would always say, he would say that, and this relates to our discussion on the Recapturing the African Mind series in my book. Louis Michaud would always say that when the white man came to Africa, he came with the Bible and the gun. And Lewis would go on to say that the Bible was to humble you. And if the Bible did not humble you, then he had the gun to crumble you. If the Bible did not humble you, he had the gun to crumble you. You see. So Louis Michaud, in his bookstore, he would also have Dr. Yusuf Ben Yakinon, John Henry Clark would go there, John G. Jackson would go there, and they had a study group in Harlem also connected with the bookstore, because they would have the students in the little study, the Harlem Study Club, to go to the bookstore, Louis Michaud bookstore on 125th Street, to get the books that they were reading and studying. And Kwame Nkrumah, the president, not at that time, but a student at Lincoln University, another black college, would come to the Harlem Study Club and go to Louis Michaud's bookstore from Lincoln University in Chester County, Pennsylvania. And I did want to mention, too, that Lincoln University, which a lot of people really don't think about, graduated quite a few well-known people. That little small school, private school in Chester County, Pennsylvania, Lincoln, graduated people like Oscar Brown, Roscoe Lee Brown, Cab Calloway, Langston Hughes, Gil Scott Heron, and his partner, Brian, I can't think of Brian's last name, some of y'all know, with the Gil Scott Heron group, and also Thurgood Marshall went to school there, Abdul Aleem Shabazz, or Dr. Lonnie Shabazz of the Nation of Islam, went to school at Lincoln University, and eventually went there and became the chairman of the mathematics department and became one of the greatest African-American mathematicians in the country, and at one time became the minister of the temple in Washington, D.C. for Elijah Muhammad. He went to Lincoln University, and I studied under Dr. Shabazz, and this is how I got a great deal of my information on lectures that I do on African contributions to science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. You see, so Lincoln was a very, very, very good school for African-American people, but I also want to just throw a shout-out to another Lincoln University that most of our people don't know about, which is located in Jefferson City, Missouri, out west. Most times we think about black colleges either in the south or northeast or sometimes down in Texas and those areas, but there's another Lincoln University in Jefferson City, Missouri, and I happened to speak there one time because I was speaking at the university, Washington State University in St. Louis, and I had the people there to take me out to do a lecture at Lincoln University in Jefferson City, Missouri, another black college in the western part of the country, you see. So as usual, Brother Marvin, I like to come with information so our people can learn something and to talk about Dr. Rogers, because these are the things that made Dr. Rogers become the person he became by going to these bookstores. And later on in life, of course, he would come to my bookstore in Durham, and he has a tremendous library right now, and I hope it's going to be well taken care of. And this is what made him become the person he became. His relationships with the Lewis Mishaw bookstore, his relationships with my bookstore, his relationship with Pauli Murray's home place in Durham, North Carolina, and the Carolina Times, and his time at North Carolina Central University in the history department. All of this is what made him become the person that he became, which is a good lesson for those who are tuned in. Each and every one of you who are listening today to Brother Marvin, Brother George, and myself, always remember that the more knowledge you gain, the more knowledge you contain, and then you can pass it on to other people, it will make all of us grow, make all of us develop, and give all of us a legacy such as the legacy that Dr. Rogers had. Back to you, Brother Marvin.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Dr. Bruce, absolutely. And again, I want to thank you for introducing us to Dr. Rogers and the number of shows that you both tag team on, and we had conversations about how we would do what we do before we produce the show. But I just want to talk about influence for a minute, how Dr. Rogers influenced just what we do here at the African American Empowerment Association. We had our newsletter that got slowed down. Our news magazine is called Peace. It used to be Wisdom. And we started out with the Wisdom, and COVID came, and Dr. Rogers was introduced to us, and he kept talking about Dr. Woodson and being able to put out a magazine, being able to distribute information. And I kept saying, brothers, we got to get this magazine up and going. We got to get it up and going. And almost every time Dr. Rogers would come back, he said, well, we used to disseminate information. We used to put it in our community. And so we got this December through February edition out right now of Peace. And because of his influence, he is the lead article on the front page of our Peace magazine. His article is Remembering Black Power Through Its Literature. And Dr. Rogers wrote an eloquent piece, and I hope that we're able to get this out into the community. We're going to do it in two or three parts because it's so long. But he talked about the Black Power movement was one of the most misunderstood protest movements in American history, and he chronicles all the different groups and all the different people who are part of elements of the movement and how it was misunderstood and how they used it as a tool. But again, Dr. Rogers influenced us by his words and his knowledge and how eloquent he was at describing the work that went into Dr. Woodson's movement and the elevation of our people and the education. And so I honor Dr. Rogers right now by placing him at the top of our magazine because he did so well. And when we publish the next article in March, he will be on the front page again, sharing his words of knowledge and wisdom. So we want to go to Slido real quick, Dr. Bruce. And here's the first question at Slido. It says, where can I find Dr. Rogers' published works, and did Dr. Rogers publish any books?
Good question, brother. And whoever that is, Brother Marvin, and you, Brother George, text that particular person my phone number, because I, to answer the question right now, I don't know, but I'm going to find out when some of the things are settled in terms of, you know, his belongings and what's going to be happen to his books and his papers and those kinds of things, and then I'll know. So as of right now, I do not know, but whoever that is, like I said, Brother Marvin, y'all would text them my 956 number. Let them know that I will get back in touch with them as soon as I find out, because I've been wondering myself. Okay?
All right. Thank you. Brother George, you got anything before we go to the lines?
No, sir. I'm just, you know, elated with learning all this information through Dr. Bridges. You know, he knows a great deal more about this, and you know, the question and answer period, I'm just anxious to hear, you know, some of the questions and all that. So I'm good, brother.
Thank you.
Dr. Bruce.
Right, yeah, and I was about to say, yeah, I am too, brother. I want to hear, because we did let quite a few people know about the program, so I want to hear from them today through Slido or through the telephone. And a sister just one sister just texted me from a 414 area code, Brother Marvin, in case you didn't know. If you see the 414s, those are from Wisconsin, so those are some people who probably know Doc real good. So anyway, I'll give it back to you.
All right, definitely get them in. All right, so we're going to the lines. Guest line, 845-277-9250. 845-277-9250. Slido or slido.com if you just want to make a comment that way. The number in Slido is 247-6848. Let's go to the lines. We're going right over to Wisconsin, 9139 Wisconsin territory. You're on live with Dr. Bruce, Brother George, and myself. Welcome to the show. We're honoring Dr. Rogers today, the life and legacy of our giant. If you have a statement, comment, 9139, the last four of your phone number, 414.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Hey, welcome to the show, ma'am.
Yes, thank you so much, and I pray and hope that you all can hear me. Dr. Bruce Bridges, you just really educated us. And then the other gentleman also that may have been Brother Marvin, when you were talking about those books, that's, man, Doc Rogers educated me. Oh, my God, did he, you know, I call him my Dr. Clark. I'm going to try to just say what I need to say without crying, because I miss him so. When he's the one that told me also, you know, how many people know about the guy that you said, Dr. Bridges, that had the big famous bookstore? Dr. Rogers told me about that. And I
Louis Michaud, I'm glad to hear that, sister. So he told you, he used to go to that store, didn't he?
Yes, he did. And you know what? And I have that book on Louis Michaud, but I looked him up because I did just what you told us to do. When Doc Rogers would come on, I would always have my computer up and my pen and pencil ready. That's how I purchased a lot of books that I have. And the book, The Miseducation of the Negro, is so sad.
That's what
to
I
say.
Like here, Sister Dee Dee. I like what you're saying. I love it. I love it. I love it, because that's why Brother Marvin and you too, Brother George, and George, and I talked to him a couple of times this morning today. I like for people to learn from our programs. And Sister Dee Dee, you say you know about him going to Louis Michaud bookstore, and you know, and see Malcolm used to speak there. It was a monumental place in New York. So go ahead, Sister Dee Dee.
Dr. Bridges, when I researched and read, they said that Malcolm X, Brother Michaud would lock the doors and leave Malcolm in there sometimes. Malcolm would be in there reading so long.
I didn't know that, brother. I mean, sister, I'm glad to hear that. Go ahead. You're teaching me now.
They would lock the door and leave Malcolm sitting in there. Malcolm X even said his favorite pastime, he said you could lock him in the library and he'd be just as happy. And that's what Brother Michaud used to do. And remember when Brother Michaud had said when he went to the white man, because he started his bookstore in a wagon. And
that's
the
right.
White man wouldn't give him, that's right, Dr. Bridges, you know, so you can correct me if I'm wrong. The white man wouldn't give him a loan. He wouldn't give him a loan to get his bookstore. And the white man told him, niggas don't read no way, but I give you a loan, you can get a store and fried chicken. Oh, my God. I could go on, but I'm not, because I know there's other callers. And then, as they would say, they always would say, anything you don't want a nigga to know, put it in a book. And you know what, the one guy that was on Hidden Colors, he said that because he said when his house got broken into, they turned over everything but his damn bookcase. And that's where he had all kind of money stuffed at. And this brother was a famous brother. He said they tore his house up, but they did not touch the damn bookcase. Isn't that something? And right today, we will not pick a book up. And a lot of times, folks will laugh at you if they see you with a book. My grandkids.
And you know, Sister Dede, I'm glad you said that too, because you reminded me of something else I'm going to say about Louis Michaud and his bookstore and how that bookstore actually fed Dr. Rogers, and we wouldn't have had the Dr. Rogers that we know had it not been for the Louis Michaud bookstore, because he came to my bookstore later on after he had finished North Carolina Central University in about the year 1984-85, and after having been a police officer in Brooklyn. But he told me he began to wake up when he started going to Louis Michaud's bookstore. So I just want to show you all the importance of how it is we get information that we have. We would not have gotten information from the great man that we're tributing today had it not been for him going to Louis Michaud's bookstore and then learning and starting to learn and grow and then give it back to us. But the point I want to make is before we go on, and that is Louis Michaud about this education in America, brothers and sisters, and to those who are tuned in, education is one thing, but it has absolutely zero to do with you going to school, set up colleges, set up high schools by white people. That's not education. Louis Michaud started the bookshop store. The point I want to make is Louis Michaud was, quote unquote, as they say, an uneducated man. When he first came to New York, he was a pea picker, and he also was a deacon in his brother's church. But he was not a school-educated man. But he was more educated than most of our people who have degrees from white folks' schools and colleges.
You better know it. You better know it. Oh, my God. And he educated me so on Dr. John Henry Clark. I call him my Dr. Clark. He would just laugh. I say, Baba, you are my Dr. Clark. When Dr. Clark passed on, that spirit went right into Baba. The spirit was already in Baba, but it came in full bloom. Because I love that man, and he educated a whole lot of them so much. So if you had that pen and pencil ready when he was talking, even when he was, even the one night, Dr. Bruce, when we had the, this is one of my favorite programs, the one about Black Talk Radio. Oh, my God, y'all got down and educated a lot of us that night, too. Oh, my goodness. Black Talk Radio, and I tell you what, and the darn black baseball players. Oh, you know, I'd be in my glory listening to the shows and have my pen, pencil ready and computer up just like it is now. Because I was trying
and
to
And I
get
hope
down
you got something out of what we had to say, Sister Dede. Thank you for your call.
All
right. Thank you, Sister. Again, we appreciate you. Do you have any final comments that you want to make in reference to Dr. Rogers before we move on?
I just love and miss him. I love and I miss him so. The last time we talked, you know, I just want to say this too. I would text him in the mornings, and I would text him and send him, like, you know, little good mornings. And he told me those words. I could just hear him say it. And he called me and he said, Sister, you keep sending me those pretty little black girls that you be sending me telling me good morning. He said, I love it. And he sent me back another beautiful text. I mean, I just miss him. I miss him so. And I hate that none of us could just, you know, just could have seen him again or just talk to him again. You know, I texted to his phone when I saw the little piece on TV, you know, saying that he was critically missing. I texted his phone. I said, please, whoever finds his phone, please call somebody. Please call us. Call Dr. Bridges. Call Brother Kwasi. Please call somebody, y'all. Please call me and let me know how Baba's doing. And the next text I got was he had passed. And I like to just, man, I just fell out. I just cried. I said, I'll be damned. So I just hope that we can keep his legacy going and just keep it going.
Absolutely.
Because we need it. We need it. We need it because our people, man, they dropping off. I mean, we just falling down by the wayside, and it's so sad. It's so sad. It hurts me to see how our young black women are now. Nobody, no morals, no respect no more. You know, you get on fake book and Nastygram. That's what I call Instagram, Nastygram. It's just sad when you go on there and see what's going on. And then that hollering, black women, we got to stop saying that crap. I don't need no man. I don't know. You better stop saying that because you're set up, sister. You better stop saying that. Uh-uh. I ain't manly. I ain't trying to be manly. I want to be a cinnamon. I'm old, but I still want to be old and cute and cinnamon. Damn that, that you don't need no man. That's for yourself, because I always want to meet a black man. All right, I'm done. Thank you so very much.
All right, thank you, sister. Thank you so much for calling. Let's go over to 0012. First three is 267. 0012 is the last four. You're on live. Thank you, sister, again for calling. 0012. Welcome to the show.
Yes,
you have a question,
brother,
comment, statement.
Yes, this is Brother Timothy from Philadelphia. And I
want to
tell you,
Timothy,
I met Dr. Rogers. I met Dr. Rogers through the radio, a radio talk program, right? And I don't have much time for where I'm at. I would like to expound upon more about a man's man. He was a man's man. And I will give him a title as an undergraduate student and a graduate student. Spent a lot of time in the colleges and universities and HBCUs, that he was a master teacher. And I had to blend in different classrooms and places that I couldn't be and didn't want to be. But he's a type of person that he could put the will in you to learn and understand. And the people who came to the talk show and gave up the information that we got, I got to congratulate them too. But I have to go now, but I'd like to get back with you folks. And I like what you're doing. And I love Dr. Rogers and all the program. Talk to you soon. Bye.
All right. Thank you, brother. Peace and blessings. All right. All right. Let's go down 0946. 0946, you're next. You're on. Do you have a question, comment, statement?
Yes. Good afternoon. I didn't know Dr. Rogers very long, but what I did know about him and my experience of him was that he loved black people. And I just want to say this because he would be the type of person that would say something like this. This is holiday season, and there are a lot of people that are dealing with a lot of grief and depression. And so if there's anybody on here that is dealing with that, you can always call 988. And I'm just saying that because I know Dr. Rogers would be concerned about us as a person, not just getting us information and education, but he really cared about people. And the last time that I talked to him, he was talking about how the programming and the brainwashing is so deep inside of our people now. And he was always thinking of ways, innovative ways to crack that veneer, to get out the information on different formats. Black Talk Radio was definitely one of those formats, and he was always thinking of innovative ways to reach out to our community to plant those seeds, and he was very patient. He understood that this kind of work, when you are talking about reprogramming, undoing, it's not easy work, and he knew that, but he was committed to the work, and I'm very thankful for the short time that I did get to know him. I am so thankful for his work, his legacy, his commitment, and I'm thankful that we are acknowledging him here today. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sister. Appreciate you. Dr. Rogers is so eloquent, right? From what I know about him, soft-spoken, cool, calm, and collected, a great man. And the brother said, a man's man, put the will in you. I like that. Let's go down to 414. Last four is 0668. 0668. We're West Wisconsin way. Here we go. 0668, Brother George, Dr. Bruce, do you have a question, statement, comment about the great Dr. William Rogers? 1-800-273-0668. All right, let's go on over to the last four is 6789. 6789, first 757. Question, comment, statement. It relates to our tribute to Dr. Rogers. 6789. All right, let's go over to 7738. Last four, 7738. First, area code 225. You're up next. Do you have a question, comment, statement?
Yes, I've got a tribute that I've written to Dr. Rogers that I'd like to read.
All right.
Hello. Yes.
Yes, you're
the title
you're
is William Rogers.
Go right ahead.
Yes. Hello. And the title is William Rogers and the Black Reality Think Tank. Jesse Jackson began the era of peer politics where, with the exception of a few exceptional individuals like Frederick Douglass, Martin Delaney, Adam Clayton Powell, and Ralph Bunche, or the heroic efforts of Representative Shirley Chisholm, who would bring a folding chair, we were finally in the room. Before Jesse ran in 84 and 88, ours was a client politics where, like Senator Ron Johnson in his treasonous effort to nullify the 2020 presidential election, we could only pass notes to the insiders. Unfortunately, the wedge politics played by those at the table only accepted notes that praised the status quo. So beginning with the Reagan administration, most of the black community began to fall further and further behind as only black sycophants were allowed to be note writers. Hip-hop returned the black voice to the agenda when another of our shining black princes, Tupac Shakur, imagined that he could humanize black undesirables in the same way that Dr. King had humanized black children and respectable blacks. But William Rogers anticipated this moment, the moment when we can do more than rap about our plight from outside or pass acceptable notes about it to those on the inside. Dr. Rogers conceived of a black reality think tank as a tool for people at the table. Dr. Rogers created a space where black truth, once crushed to the earth, could rise, where the lights in black hearts could shine. In Milwaukee, a city with damn near all black political everything, his think tank idea couldn't be more needed. The future of our community, Milwaukee, the United States, and the world would not depend on the will of the people, on the ability to gang up the most voices, but on the wisdom of the people, the ability to incorporate the most perspectives and to think through the consequences of our actions. This is precisely the role of a think tank, precisely the vision of Dr. William Rogers.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Touching. Black reality think tank. I'll bring you back in, Dr. Bruce, to just talk for a few minutes about the Black Reality Think Tank and the work that you know that Dr. Rogers did in that platform. And he invited me on to share my views about African-American empowerment, to share what my thoughts and views were on the changes that we need to make. So, again, I acknowledge the work. Thank you, brother, for calling in. Dr. Bruce, are you there?
Yes, I am. I just, he would always have guests on, male, female, black guests, teaching and speaking on black culture, politics from many, many, many different perspectives. He would always speak about some of those things and have people on to discuss them. So one thing I always liked about him is that he didn't just hog the whole program himself, but he passed his information on through other people saying some things that he wanted to say and also some things that he didn't want to say. If you didn't agree with his stand, he didn't mind. He would still have you on. So it was a program, Black Reality Think Tank, was a program that was very, very, very informative for the most part. And as Sister Benita said, one thing about the Black Reality Think Tank and Doc Rogers is the fact that he would always have concern for people and the feelings of the human being over, above, and beyond the historic information. But he would ask you things like, how you doing, what's going on with you, and those kinds of things. And he was sincere about that. So that's one thing I got from the Black Reality Think Tank.
All right. Thanks, Dr. Bruce. We'll go over to Slido. Slido says, Dr. Rogers was an amazing scholar and historian. His story and legacy will continue to live on in how we apply his teachings in our lives and community. So thank you for sharing that over on Slido. I'm going to go down now to 3347. 3347 is 919 up top, third, 3347 down the bottom. You got
Brother Randy. That's Brother Randy from Durham, North Carolina. Brother Randy, did you learn a lot from Dr. Rogers when you used to listen to him? Brother Randy, did you learn a lot from Dr. Rogers when you used to listen to him? And you listen every Saturday to the Black Reality Think Tank. Okay, all right.
Line is open. All right, we'll come back to Brother
yes,
Randy.
Yes, I did.
All right.
Okay.
Here we go. Hold on, let me get it back
Randy.
In.
Oh, yes, I did. I followed you and Dr. Rogers, and a lot of education came from my brother, Herbert White. And I just look forward, and I want people to know that the information that you give is not only for the younger people, but a lot of the elderly are learning. I'm in my 60s, and I'm learning so much. Listen to this program.
Where'd you grow up in your hometown? Where's your hometown?
Brooklyn, New York.
And that's where Dr. Rogers was a police officer. So I know he probably had a tough job with y'all up there in Brooklyn, didn't he?
Oh, we did. He never arrested me. But it was a shock to know that he was a police officer. So he did a lot of different things in his life and attended a lot of different schools. And I was surprised that you talked a lot about his family and the participation that was donated here in Durham. And I admire that you mentioned that. So I'm learning a lot listening to this program. So like I said, I know you're giving a lot of stuff and a lot of information to our younger people, but as an older person, I'm learning so much from this show, and I really appreciate that.
And you know, before you hang up and you mention family too, I think it would be good, since we were talking about a great deal about the history of Durham, and of course your family, the late, great Madam DeShazer, and the school that she started in Durham, North Carolina, Brother Marvin and Brother George, this brother's aunt, I think it was, started a school in Durham, North Carolina, and where this brother's on the phone eventually taught at the school after his mother passed. I mean, your aunt passed. Is that right, Randy?
Right.
I might not have
All
the
right.
history.
Oh, yes, I did. I was influenced by her, and she had a lot of information, and she taught me a lot about cosmetology and about life and its history. She was very proud of her history.
And maybe at some point we might have you and maybe Brother Herbie to come on and talk about the school that your aunt, Madam DeShazer's Beauty College that she started in Durham, because it educated a lot of African-American women and men and allowed them to get jobs where they could survive and support their families and move on and go into business for themselves.
Oh, yes, she developed a campus.
See, that's the kind of
where
environment.
Other black people, yeah, she developed a campus where other people from other states and other towns could come and attend her school and
that's
taught
right.
them a lot. So it wasn't just people in Durham, but people
Good
that
point.
Came from other cities that needed that education and couldn't find it anywhere else.
So that's
so
that's
she
another
allowed
good
them
show.
To come.
Brother Martin, that's a good show for another time, too. But see, Dr. Rogers, to make all this relevant, he grew up in an environment where he saw black people doing things, starting schools, starting businesses, starting tennis clubs and boys and girls clubs and all kinds of things. So he grew up in an environment like that. So that's why he became the person that he became. So thank you,
yes,
Brother
sir.
Randy, for your call.
All right.
Thank
you, Brother
you
Randy.
Very much. And again, thank you.
All right. Oops. Sorry. Go ahead, Brother Randy. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just saying, and I want to thank you
for educating not only the young, but looking towards the elderly that don't know this information.
All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you tuning in. Speaking of education, Dr. Rogers had advanced degrees in theology and history, and one thing he was pushing was us to do shows on religion and Africans in the Bible and how our culture and our heritage, and we were working on developing a series with Dr. Bruce and Dr. Rogers and Dr. Maxwell, and I want to make sure that we carry that out because he put an emphasis on wanting to develop that series to educate us in terms of Afrocentric theology, and I'm going to push for that as we move forward, that we understand that portion of our history and our culture. So, Dr. Maxwell, if you're out there, Dr. Bruce, we're going to do that series in honor of Dr. Rogers. Let's go on over to 0244-504, last four, 0244. You're live on the show. You have a comment, a statement. We're giving honor to Dr. Rogers today.
Yes, this is actually Pugh again from the 225. I was having a problem on the phone, but I will just make this little final comment. One of the things that really impressed me about Dr. Rogers was the sharing of that North Carolina rich education tradition. In other words, the kind of respect that people had for education down there. I thought that was very helpful for somebody in Milwaukee where pimping and that kind of thinking was popular. So I'll end it with that.
All right. Thank
Good
you.
Good comment,
sir.
Bro. Please.
Dr. Rogers definitely was a thinker, right? And he influenced our thinking. We continue to give honor and praise to a great giant in our community, across the airways, but also the people that he impacted directly. Let's go over to 9552, area code 804, you're live.
Good afternoon, brothers. This is Brother Patrick out of Richmond, Virginia. And I like
hey,
to,
Brother Patrick, welcome.
Yes, sir. I'd like to thank the three of you, Brother George, Brother Bruce, and yourself for continuing to do the work. I was blessed to hear Dr. Rogers on your show, and, you know, I kind of taught myself as a person who has been enlightened to a lot of our people, but this was the first time I really had was blessed to hear Dr. Rogers and know of him. It just through your show. It just goes to show you how a platform like, you know, the three of y'all have every Saturday is much needed, and we need to continue to share your website, your information, and let people know that at 2 o'clock every Saturday you can get a vast of information from your show. And you know, I had learned and told to have a genuine concern for your people, and by continuing to share and let them know with this media we have through, you know, the internet and the phone, we can counterbalance a lot of the madness that it is on some of this new equipment that we have. And also, Dr. Bruce, I'm enjoying your book I received from you last Saturday, and it was a dynamite program that the brothers y'all presented last Saturday. I really enjoyed myself, and I continue to share this link with people because a lot of people don't know about Blog Talk Radio, particularly at 2 a.m. Also, I like to Dr. Bruce spoke on Paula Mary, and there's a documentary of her on Amazon Prime Video. I found it once, and I really need to go and look at it again because it's full with a lot of information. So there's a lot of information. I don't know who produced it, but I think it's good enough to be introduced to her and her life. And it was good that I heard Dr. Bruce speak of her because she was an unsung hero that, you know, we don't hear about her during Black History Month, just, you know, in general. But keep on doing the work, brothers. I look forward and participating in a lot of the programs that y'all are presenting, and I'm going to trying my best to do my part to keep letting our people know about a lot of the important work y'all are doing in Richmond, Virginia.
All right. Thank you, Brother Patrick. We're spreading that network around the country. We're putting the web together of education. It's all about education, African-American empowerment. Let's go over to 0148. Thank you, Brother Patrick. 0148-334-0148. You're live. Do you have a comment, statement?
Real quickly, good evening, everyone. The one thing that stood out to me with Dr. Rogers, along with others who I've had the chance to integrate with, was his authenticity. To tell you the truth, Dr. Rogers has literally, not even literally, made me untie my tie, button my shirt down a couple of buttons, and roll up my sleeves to get to work. And that's what I loved about him, and that's what I will continue to love of the essence of this brother. Thank you so very much for taking my call.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's go over to 8502. Do you have a question, comment, or statement? 8502.
Yes, good afternoon, and hotep to everybody on the show.
Hotep, my brother.
And this is Herbie White in Durham, North Carolina. I just like to say about Dr. Rogers that you can go on Google and the internet and find any kind of information that you want. But what you can't find on Google and the internet is wisdom. There's a difference.
Mm.
Wisdom comes from a person who loves themselves, loves what they're doing, and loves who they're doing it for. And that's where Dr. Rogers stands out.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Herbie. All right, we're getting close to the end. We've run out of time. Dr. Bruce, final comments. Brother George, it's been a great show. Let's close this out the right way for Dr. Rogers. Great man. Minister of the truth, empowering our people one person at a time. Dr. Bruce, final comments.
All right, Brother Marvin, just want to thank you for doing this tribute to Dr. Rogers. And I'd like to make just one final statement, and that is all men go through adversity and women, but the true test of a man is when his character is put on stage with the advent of power. You can tell a person's character when they gain power. And Dr. Rogers always showed good power and a man of great character.
Thank you, Dr. Bruce. Well stated, and great, great job of chronicling Dr. Rogers' history and legacy. May his work continue to live on in all of us. Go back to the archives on this show, and you can hear exactly what he talked about, because we have the record. All right, Brother George, final comments.
Master teacher, brother. He was a master teacher, and, you know, he'll be missed. That's me.
So true. All right. Thank you, Brother George. That wraps it up for now. Dr. William Rogers, research in terms of focus on the black church, the role of the family and community, and how to empower our people. He had shows. He had everything that we could imagine. He had influence. He had impact. He was a visionary. And so we must, those who he poured into must now rise up as he moves to decide what he poured in us must pour out of us and into the next generation. He has done so much to do so little for so many people who don't know about the man that was a giant during our time. And so we say thank you to Dr. Rogers. We say thank you for producing honesty, respect, character. We give thanks to you for being an essence of influence and a master teacher, a man's man that put the will into people, who created the Black Reality Thinking Soul, Think Tank, and so much more. This man was a tool for us to be able to ratchet ourselves around a positive influence. Continue to do the work of being an influence in your own family and your own community. And always remember, there's one man right now that we can look to as a great giant, and that's Dr. William Rogers. May peace be upon him. May your influence on this earth live forever. Peace and brothers, blessings, brothers and sisters. Have a great day. And remember, you too can be great if you simply try. Peace and blessings. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.